ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of Politics Now. And throughout the week on the podcast, I'm joined by the brightest political minds at the ABC to wade through the political spin and bring you the analysis you need to know.
They clearly think there's a political upside in looking tough on this.
We go beyond the headlines, digging into the key political stories of the day and making sure we have a little bit of fun along the way. It will be... personal favourite of mine,
shovel ready.
So the shovel is ready to enter the ground. It's called Politics Now, and you can find it on ABC Listen.
It's almost 3 months since Donald Trump began the Iran war. But is there any chance now that America can actually win it? Or does the US president need to walk away and accept he achieved few of his shifting objectives? Today, Robert Malley, a lead negotiator on the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, on how the quagmire is similar to the Vietnam War and what can be done to end it. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Robert, President Trump, he is continually threatening Iran with a full-scale assault if it doesn't reach an acceptable deal, before, of course, then backing down. It's becoming like a never-ending cycle at this point, isn't it?
It is, and as I'm trying to do, but I feel almost impossible to achieve, is to ignore everything the president says, because the same day he'll say that we are an inch away from a deal. He'll say that there's no need for a deal because Iran has been vanquished, and he'll also say that the Iranian leaders with whom he's dealing are very smart.
Getting very close to making a deal, and if we can do that where there's no nuclear weapon, we will be probably satisfied also.
I would say the ceasefire is on massive life support, where the doctor walks in and says, sir, your loved one has approximately a 1% chance of living.
We're going to end that war very quickly. They want to make a deal so badly. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen fast.
Well, we hit them very hard, but we may have to hit them even harder, but maybe not.
So pick your poison among, or your choice among all those statements. I think what really matters is what he'll decide to do in the coming days. And at this point, I would surmise it's as likely as we'll reach a deal as it is that we are headed towards another round of warfare.
Gosh, all right, yes, and he changes his mind and his objectives continually, daily, hourly. He communicates them through his social media platform, often very long, rambling posts. Just tell me, what do you think Iran makes of all of that? How does it perceive this?
Well, I mean, I suspect that they don't take it as seriously as it did at the beginning because there have been so many of these announcements that have not been followed up. Mm. I think every time he threatens utter destruction, at this point, it's part of the background noise. I mean, not that they don't fear that at some point they might be victims once again of massive attacks, but there's no correlation in their mind between what the president does, thinks, and what he might do. So I suspect that they are just as prepared for a possible resumption of hostilities, and they've had time to do whatever they could to try to maximize their own retaliation and minimize their own losses, but also preparing themselves for the possibility of a diplomatic breakthrough if that's what the president decides he would rather do.
Well, Robert, what I want to consider with you now is whether, as much as he might want to declare victory, Donald Trump can actually win this war.
So let me first say, you know, nothing will justify, in my mind, a war that was unlawful, unnecessary, and unjustified from day one. Now, when you ask, can the president, can the United States claim victory? Well, the metrics upon which it could have claimed victory were available basically from week two or three of the war. In other words, it is true, and the president has said it, that the United States has dealt Iran a very formidable military blow in terms of some of its capacities, in terms of its nuclear program, in terms of its leadership, which it has decapitated, in terms of the economic cost that Iran is going to have to contend with once the war ends. All of that was true very early on in the war. The marginal gains that the U.S. can make now by continuing the war are not enough to justify a resumption, which doesn't mean that he won't do it. But so if he wants to claim victory, he could have done it. It becomes a little bit harder to do it now, given that so many weeks have gone by and very little additional has been achieved. And as I think our listeners know, Iran, if the war were to end tomorrow or next week, would still claim that it is standing, that it controls the Strait of Hormuz, that it still has a formidable capacity of missiles and drones, and it still has at least some nuclear knowledge and some nuclear capacity. So victory in the terms that the president more recently has presented it, which is the total surrender of Iran, that is not achievable. Mm. If you want something that in his mind he could claim is a military success, as I said, it was achievable before, he could still claim it now. I think it has less credibility because of all of the damage that the United States has incurred, the rest of the world has incurred economically and in many other ways. All of that, I think the historians are going to say, are going to repeat what I said at the beginning, which is the war was unlawful, unnecessary, unjustified, and did not even accomplish the goals that it purported to achieve.
And you've compared this to Vietnam. So Donald Trump considers that the US military, it's won on the ground, it's destroyed military targets, it's killed senior figures, and you think that's part of the problem. Just explain that.
Well, I think there's a difference and there's a similarity. The difference, of course, is that you do not have hundreds of thousands of American troops, which they did in Vietnam, they have not invaded Iran. You don't have the hundreds of thousands of wounded and killed on the American side. So it's not comparable to that extent. What is comparable is the huge asymmetry between the metrics that the U.S. likes to point to. How many bridges have been blown up? How many people have been killed? What's the, economic loss that Iran has suffered? And all of that, if you go back and look at the history books, those are the kind of metrics that President Johnson, President Kennedy, their respective secretaries of defense would like to tout and say, look how well we're doing. And yet they were not winning the war because their war had objectives that the Viet Cong, the Vietnamese, could thwart at every turn. Same here. The U.S. could have all the metrics it wants, and the president is very proud to recite them. But when it comes to the genuine objectives of the war, which is either to change the nature of the regime in Iran or to make them utterly capitulate and surrender, those things are not going to be achieved. And this is really, in some ways, the first globalized guerrilla warfare, that an asymmetric warfare that Iran is waging. In any such warfare, what matters is for the great power, the U.S., anything short of victory is defeat. And for the lesser power, the weaker power, in this case Iran, anything short of defeat is victory.
And if Donald Trump's decision ultimately is to begin bombing again, what would that achieve, do you think, that the first 37 days of US strikes didn't? What would be the point?
It would be more of the same. And again, I don't want to underestimate the fact that Iran is suffering immensely and that the regime after the war is going to have a very hard time addressing the needs of its ordinary citizens. And so the time will come where there will be a reckoning in Iran. But again, just take a picture of the war itself. Yes, the U.S. could bomb more bridges and more electrical infrastructure and more petrol infrastructure, all of which, or some of which at least, would qualify as war crimes. So all of it would make Iran suffer more economically. It would not bend its political will. As of the time we speak, the indications are perhaps there's a better chance for diplomacy, but we know that we've been here before. Many times the mediators have said we're close to a deal, and many times at the last minute, the U.S. has pulled the rug from underneath the feet of the diplomats and said, not good enough. Mm. We're not going to sign.
Mm. And the Strait of Hormuz, that's a huge problem. Of course, it's having an economic impact around the world, including on Iran. How is that solved?
Well, first, where we are as of the moment we speak, it's a situation of neither war nor peace, but countless innocent victims. And those victims are people not just in the Gulf, not just in Iran, certainly not just in the United States. They are all over the world because they're paying for higher energy costs, shortages of fertilizers, shortages of food. So, and this is going to have a cascading effect. So many people are paying the price for war that the U.S. unlawfully started, and that is not ended yet for them because the Strait of Hormuz is still closed. Yes, it's imposing a cost on Iran, but it believes that by asserting its authority over the Strait, it will be able to impose some kind of post-war mechanism through which it will extract, call it a toll, call it some kind of financial benefit that may be distributed among Gulf Arab countries, but it believes that it will get something out of the Strait of Hormuz that it was not getting before in terms of economic relief. It certainly won't be enough to make up for the losses that they've incurred, but long term, they believe that that's a strategic asset that the war didn't invent, but that the war handed them, and they're not about to give up.
Robert, one of the aims of this war was, according to Donald Trump, to ensure Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Now, of course, you were instrumental in securing the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran in the Obama administration.
There really are only two alternatives here. Either the issue of Iran obtaining a nuclear weapon is resolved diplomatically through a negotiation, or it's resolved through force, through war.
So you tell me, can a deal be done again? Would Tehran negotiate again for a deal like that?
I think there's every indication, again, if one is to believe what one hears from the mediators and from press reports, that Iran is prepared to put on the table steps that won't guarantee that they can't have a nuclear weapon. I mean, that's kind of impossible. They have the knowledge now. That knowledge is irreversible. So if they really want to get a nuclear weapon, they could try to dash for one. And the question will be, would it be detected on time for outside powers to prevent them? The real challenge is, are there enough measures, constraining measures, transparency measures that make sure that Iran would not take the risk to try to develop a bomb? Or if they were to take the risk, as I said, they would be immediately detected and thus immediately thwarted. I think that's still possible. What we're hearing is that Iran is prepared, for example, to suspend enrichment for a period of time, say 10, 15 years. That they're prepared to accept the resumption of intrusive inspections, that they're prepared to limit for a long period of time the kind of enrichment that they would be involved in, also to either ship out or dilute the highly enriched uranium that they've accumulated. It's never foolproof, it's never perfect, but it's about as good as one could get. I think it was achievable without a war. It had been achieved in 2015, and therefore there was no justification for President Trump to rip up that deal.
The Iran deal is defective at its core. The fact is, this was a horrible, one-sided deal that should have never, ever been made. It didn't bring calm, it didn't bring peace, and it never will.
At this point, I still think a deal is achievable. It's not the perfect deal that President Trump may be talking about. It's not fundamentally different from the deal that was negotiated in 2015, but it would be a good enough deal at this point.
In that case, though, if a diplomatic deal is done, does America still lose?
I mean, define victory. For me, the war was lost the moment it was waged because it had no justification, no legality. And so I can't look at a war like that and say it's going to be won, particularly when the terms, the objectives were vague, were ill-defined, and were constantly changing and often approached sort of degrees of unrealism, such as regime change or capitulation of the regime. So those objectives were never achievable. I will never look back at this war as a victory. But I do think there's at least now a way to end the war, open the Strait of Hormuz and the terms that would still have to be dealt with, and guaranteeing that Iran is not in a position to try to dash for a bomb. If those are the objectives, I think those could be met. If the objectives are changing the nature of the regime, stopping it from developing ballistic missiles, stopping it from developing drones, stopping it forever to enrich uranium, those objectives are impossible. But again, if their objectives are more modest, they are achievable, and they would have been achievable even without the war.
Finally, then, what sort of Iran are we left with?
And that's obviously a great question. In the short term, I think we're left with an Iran that will feel emboldened, that will feel that it was vindicated in its approach, that it was able to stand up not just to the strongest military in the world, but also to the strongest military in the region, Israel, which is also one of the strongest militaries in the world, and that it proved, thanks to its asymmetric form of power and its resilience, that it sustained those formidable militaries. And you now have in power in Iran a group of people. They're more militaristic. They probably in some ways are more hardline. I don't particularly like that term, but let's use it for convenience sake. Those are the people who will be in power. But what I was saying earlier, I think, is still true, which is the whatever rush that this group will get from having survived the war, how long will that rush last? When? 6 months, a year, 2 years after the war ends, they have to contend with a populace that was very upset even before the war because of the economic conditions. You know, there's going to be great unrest when they see that the basic necessities of everyday life cannot be met by this regime. And so strong regime, hardline regime, but a regime that's going to face very, very tough, perhaps existential questions, which will become even more existential when the war ends.
Robert Malley was a lead negotiator on the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, and he's a professor at Yale University. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.